Hey, Laurel.
Hey, John. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. I'm just wearing my new mask, because of the governor's new statewide mask order. I got this awesome Daft Punk helmet on eBay. Wanted to do something a little different,
Yeah, wow. Well, a couple things. First of all, the order doesn't go into effect until tomorrow. And then also, you're at your house, so you don't have
Yeah,
to.
I mean the helmet actually isn't one the band wore, obviously. It's a fan replica. And it's kind of hot in here, but
John, I'm pretty sure that helmet doesn't even meet the governor's mask requirement.
one more time. We're gonna celebrate. Oh yeah, all right, don't stop the dancing.
John.
Okay, I'll take it off.
Awesome. So, are we going to talk about this new mask requirement?
Yeah, let's do it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, Wisconsin's new statewide mask order and the likely legal fight to come.
It's not hard to go the distance when you finally get involved face to face.
And that, of course, is Face to Face from French electronica duo Daft Punk from their 2001 album Discovery. And, it didn't actually make it into the liner notes, but I think it's safe for us to assume that Daft Punk's working title for that song was probably Face to Face, parentheses, you should be wearing a mask, because they were just looking ahead 19 years to COVID.
They were really ahead of their time there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you finally get involved face to face, wear a mask.
Fun fact, too, as we were working through this intro for the podcast, I did look on eBay for Daft Punk helmets, and it's legit a thing that people do, which I think is amazing. But also, for the record, plastic face shields do not count for the governor's order, so sorry, folks, won't work for you.
Well, I'll just wear a cloth mask under my Daft Punk helmet.
There you go. That'd work. That'd work.
All right. Well, do we want to get into it? We have big news. The governor announced a statewide mask order this week, which was something that we thought he might be planning to do for a long time, but weren't sure. And we were thinking of taking another bye week for the podcast since Sean is off this week. But, news happened.
Yeah, 2020 hasn't really been very friendly to the podcast bye week. But it's cool because this is a big deal and we should definitely talk about it.
So how did this all sort of roll out yesterday? What specifically did the governor do?
So yesterday afternoon, the governor issued a new state of emergency for Wisconsin for the COVID-19 pandemic. He had previously issued one in March, so now there is a new one, and we'll talk more about that and what that means later. But he also issued a statewide mask mandate, which is set to go into effect this Saturday, August 1st, tomorrow, and last until September 28th, unless a new order is issued in the meantime, or something else happens, which we'll also address later.
Yeah, there's definitely still a lot to come to this story, I think. But in terms of specifics of the mask order, like who does it apply to? Where does it apply? When and where do people across the state have to wear masks under the governor's order?
So it applies to people who are 5 years old and older in specific settings. So people need to wear the mask in public if they are in an indoor space, like, a restaurant or a store. They also have to wear it on public transportation. There's also an element of the order that applies to what they defined as enclosed spaces, which I think is maybe a little bit more abstract for people to understand. But basically, what that is like an outdoor dining space at a bar or a restaurant. You know, some places have moved tables to sidewalks or parking lots during the pandemic. So you'd have to wear a mask there as well. Also, outdoor park shelters. You know, you're obviously outdoors, but that's kind of in a enclosed, in quotes, space. So it applies mm-hmm. there. There's another important element to this, though. You only have to wear the mask when you're in those places if there is someone from outside your household present. So if you're inside a store and you're the only one there, which I'm not really sure how often that would happen, but you wouldn't be required to wear a mask in that instance.
Wait, like if there's no staff at the store either?
Right. So I feel like maybe there's some other issues there. Like if you're in the store and there's no staff there, unless you're the owner of the store, that could be problematic on another level. But you wouldn't be required to wear a mask if you're in one of those outdoor park shelters, but it's just you and, you know, your partner and your kids or something. You don't need to be wearing a mask. If somebody else comes up, a neighbor, a friend, whatever, then you got to put the masks on. So there are some caveats like that. There are also some exemptions both for specific actions that you might be doing or people that have certain conditions. So if you have medical conditions that prevent you from wearing the mask, you don't have to do that. Also, if you're doing certain things like eating, you don't need to wear a mask. Obviously, pretty difficult to eat and wear the mask. So when you're in a restaurant, you can take it off temporarily, but then put it back on. You don't need to wear a mask when you're swimming. So you go to the beach, you go to the pool, you can take that mask off when you're in the water. There's also an exemption for when you're sleeping, which I thought, again, I wasn't really sure how that one played out in a practical sense, but maybe I'm missing an obvious thing there. So that's kind of the high level specifications, I guess, in the order.
And so, like we said, this is something that the governor had sort of been considering for a while. But what did he say yesterday as far as why he's choosing now to roll out this statewide mask mandate?
I think it's safe to say that there are two elements to that answer. So first of all, the governor said that he was doing it right now because there has been a recent spike in COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin. We've obviously seen over the past few weeks record-breaking daily numbers, you know, the numbers of new cases of the virus all across the state. He also pointed to the prevalence of COVID-19 in a majority of counties in Wisconsin. So he's saying that, you know, it's increasing and it's spread all across the state, and we're essentially in kind of a new situation than we've ever been with the virus in terms of how it's spreading and kind of the severity of the pandemic in the state right now. So that's one part of the answer about why now. I think the other part of the answer is a little bit more complicated and potentially political and something that the governor was asked about yesterday, and that was the dynamics of the state Supreme Court and how that might have influenced his timing. So the Supreme Court is undergoing a transformation this weekend, interestingly, on the same day that the mask order is set to go into effect tomorrow, Saturday. A new justice is joining the court. Liberal Justice Jill Karofsky is taking the place of conservative Justice Daniel Kelly. And what happens then is the conservative majority on the court goes from 5-2 to 4-3. Now, why does this matter with a statewide mask mandate? Well, if there's a legal challenge to the mandate, it would go to the state Supreme Court. If the state Supreme Court's conservative majority is narrowed a little bit, that increases the likelihood that, you know, a liberal coalition with maybe one swing justice from the conservative side of things could uphold the order. Like I said, the governor was asked about that, and he said, this isn't about Jill Karofsky, this isn't about the court, this is about, you know, public health and safety. It takes a while to draft these orders. We've been working on it for a while. This was just the right time to do it. So that's kind of his response. But I think it's hard to ignore the fact that the order goes into effect literally the same day that the makeup of the court changes.
Yeah. And you know, not to toot our own horns in terms of, you know, how prescient we are. But we were all wondering, you know, if an order would come right around the same time that the change on the court happened. And, mm-hmm. you know, lo and behold, it did.
Here it is.
Again, like you said, the governor said it was about, you know, public health and safety. But I think, you know, it is hard to ignore the political aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the political element to it, we had a lot of reactions, strong reactions from Republicans after this came down. What all did we hear from them after the Democratic governor made a statewide mask order?
So all of the Republicans that I've seen that have put out statements have been pretty critical of the order. So talking about the leaders, which are obviously really important in terms of kind of where they fall on this, we know that both Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald have been opposed to a statewide mask mandate. This is something we've asked them about for weeks in the sort of lead up to and speculation about the statewide order. They have always said that they favor a more kind of regional approach, a more local approach, letting local health departments handle this kind of based on what the situation is in their community, not having a one-size-fits-all approach. They reiterated that argument definitely yesterday. They kind of said, we just don't think this is the right way to approach this problem in Wisconsin. So that was kind of expected. I think in terms of the other parts of their response, I mean, there's definitely an element too of them saying that the governor is doing this to be political. They were critical of him not working with the legislature, not reaching out to the legislature about this. And I think another kind of important thing to mention is that there is a possibility for the legislature to weigh in on this in a very real way by coming in a special session and voting to override the governor's new emergency declaration. And so that was something that Senator Fitzgerald mentioned in his statement. He said he's gauging the interest from other senators in whether they would want to do that or not. And we know that a couple senators have already come out with very strong statements. Senator Van Wongard was, I think, the first person to come out and say that he didn't support the mask mandate. Senator Steve Noss, also a very vocal Republican senator, he called it illegal and unnecessary and was very sharply critical of the governor. So we know that there is that sentiment within the Republican Senate. So we'll just have to see if, you know, kind of what the outcome of Senator Fitzgerald's conversations are with everybody else in terms of whether they decide to come in and vote to override, you know, a big part of this order, which is the emergency declaration.
And that would just take a majority vote in the state legislature, right? Which the Republican majority could easily do.
Right. It's not the situation where they're looking for a two-thirds majority, like a veto override. This is just a joint resolution. So joint resolutions are things that we see in the legislature, as, you know, honoring people or holidays, things like that. It's just a simple majority. So the Republican majorities in either chamber would be able to accomplish that. The question is, do they want to take that step to make such a public statement to go against the mask order? That's something that the governor weighed in on. He said he thought it was risky business was the phrase that he used. He said it would be risky business politically and in terms of, you know, health and safety. So whether they decide to do that or not is, you know, to be seen, and a calculus, I guess, that they're kind of like making right now.
Yeah, because it would mean Republican lawmakers are essentially not just speaking out against the mask order, but going on the record with votes, making, you know, a stance against how the governor is responding to this public health emergency.
Right. And I think an element to consider in that is public polling on masks and how people feel about that, feel about the masks, which generally up until this point has been pretty strongly in favor of, you know. We're waiting for the next Marquette poll in Wisconsin with bated breath. It was supposed to be next week, but it's gotten pushed. So we'll just have to, like, you know, hold on for a while more to get the next, you know, insight on where Wisconsinites stand. But
we're always waiting for polling.
Right. I had to change my countdown calendar, sadly. It's getting so close. But yeah, but masks have been, you know, more than 50% support up until this point. So it would be something that lawmakers would be going on the record doing that a lot of people in Wisconsin wouldn't agree with.
So the legislature acting in that way is, you know, one potential way to challenge the statewide mask order. Obviously, the other one we're looking at is how this is going to be handled in the courts. And, you know, again, nothing has happened yet as of recording, but, like, we're pretty sure that there will be legal challenges to this.
Yeah. So Speaker Voss said that in his statement yesterday as well, that he thinks that citizen groups are going to challenge the order. That's an important kind of delineation. You know, he's not saying that lawmakers are going to challenge it. He's saying that citizen groups are going to challenge it. Now, what citizen group might that be? I think all eyes are on the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty right now. They are a well-known conservative group, specifically or especially within kind of like the legal realm in Wisconsin. They've challenged the governor and his administration several times. And they've been vocal about the governor's ability to issue a new emergency declaration to make this mask mandate in the weeks leading up to yesterday. And they put out another statement yesterday saying that they think the governor doesn't have the legal authority to do what he did and that their lawyers are looking at it. So I think it's kind of, based on the information that we have now, just a matter of time before Will brings a lawsuit and, you know, looks to strike down the mask order.
And so you mentioned real briefly what Speaker Voss said about the possibility of a citizen group like Will bringing a challenge as opposed to the legislature, Republicans in the legislature bringing a challenge to the order, which is what happened with the governor's Safer at Home order that eventually got struck down by the court. That was lawmakers fighting that in court, whereas mm-hmm. in this case we're looking for, you know, citizen groups. Why is that significant?
So this explanation requires, I don't know, maybe I'm overselling it, but a little bit of a deep breath before we explain. Because it has to do with the familiar legal issue of standing in a court case. I don't know, maybe more people understand this than I'm giving them credit for.
I think people are pretty understanding.
Of standing. Yeah. But it's not just about standing. It's how people have ruled on standing in the past. So basically what happened in the stay-at-home lawsuit, the safer-at-home lawsuit, is that conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn joined with the two liberal justices on the court in ruling to basically let the safer-at-home order stand, which was really interesting. But the thing is, he didn't rule based on any constitutional arguments in the case. He said that the legislature didn't have standing to bring the case, to be the plaintiff in the case. And so when people are trying to finagle it so Hagedorn will support striking something down, they have to think about, you know, what was his objection in the past? And his objection was about standing. So for a mask lawsuit, they want to be able to bring conservative Justice Hagedorn back into the fold with his fellow conservatives by kind of taking that part out of the equation, by saying, okay, here we have some citizen groups that are bringing this, some individuals that were harmed by the order, and you know, that'll be able to move forward at that point. Kind of the partisan balance of the court will be undisturbed, I guess you could say.
So assuming somebody, and all eyes are on Will here, somebody brings a challenge to this order, do we have any sense of what the reasoning, the argument against it might be?
We've gotten some insight from Will on this in the past, and what it centers on is the governor's powers to declare a state of emergency and do that kind of like statewide emergency declaration for Wisconsin. They believe that he can't issue a declaration of emergency about the same crisis twice. So when the governor issued a statewide emergency in March for COVID-19, that had a 60-day window that comes with it that gives him powers to issue mandates, like, say, a mask mandate. He obviously didn't do that in March. He did some other things. The powers expired after 60 days. And then we had the legal fight about the Department of Health Services and the Safer at Home order and what the department can do. At that point, the governor couldn't issue kind of unilateral mandates because of that time period being expired. And then that conversation kind of started happening within legal realms of, well, maybe the governor could sort of just hit the restart button, issue a new statewide emergency declaration, restart the clock, get another 60 days, and then he can issue mandates without, you know, input from the legislature, without, you know, the Department of Health Services wouldn't be doing it. He would be doing it. And that's what he did. He issued that new statewide emergency declaration alongside this mandate, and Will came out and said, as they had been saying for weeks before, he can't do that. He can't just restart the clock. It, you know, he had one emergency declaration for COVID-19, and that's what you get. Now, the governor's comeback to that is, this isn't the same emergency that we had in March. In March, it was about keeping COVID-19 out of Wisconsin in a big way, keeping it from kind of getting here and growing here. The emergency now is getting a fast spread under control, getting this community spread in a number of places in Wisconsin kind of tamped down and reined in. So most likely, based on the conversations that we've heard people having in the weeks leading up to this order, that could be the legal argument that a case is centered on.
So since we're recording this at midday on Friday, and there's the very real possibility that, you know, some sort of legal challenge could be filed at some point during the rest of the day, do we maybe want to throw it to Future John here for a little update?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think this is when legal issues are involved, it's a great time to lean on Future John. So, Future John, what's going on?
From the future, I'm Future John. As of a little after 5 p.m. Friday, no legal challenges against the governor's mask mandate had been filed. But in the state legislature, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said Republican senators, quote, stand ready to convene the body to end the governor's order. There was no word, however, on whether the state assembly was ready to meet to override the declaration. Meanwhile, sheriffs from more than a dozen counties across the state announced they won't penalize people for not wearing masks. Several said they don't have the resources to enforce the order, and that they believe it to be a public health issue, not a law enforcement one. Now back to the recent past.
Thank you, Future John. Man, if only I knew what you knew.
I feel like Sean is going to be a little bit jealous that we did a Future John throw on this episode when he's not here, because it brings him so much joy. But, you know, we got to use our time traveling resources whenever we need to. And this is important.
Yep. Got to deploy them when we need them.
Well, I guess this is sort of all we know at this point. But I'm sure we will be talking about this on future podcast episodes.
I think that's pretty safe to say.
Well, Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd. It's not hard to go the distance when you finally get involved
face to face. You don't have to be a Grammy-winning French robot to get new episodes of the WPR Politics podcast delivered to you almost every single week. Although, I imagine it's easier for them. They just download it straight to their microprocessors or whatever. But all you have to do is subscribe. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, or many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And of course, you can listen to all of our past episodes one more time at wpr.org/politics. It really didn't